Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Monica, thank you.
Welcome
back, all. I'm furious, seething with anger. I filmed this podcast episode yesterday, and Monica's gone to edit it. It's now Tuesday afternoon, and Monica just told me the microphone wasn't connected properly. So I'm redoing the whole podcast again right now, infuriating because the audio is just too bad. Welcome back, all. Thank you so much, everyone, for continuing to get in touch. Sharing your thoughts and opinions, the best place to do so, comments section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@choosethatdobbs.com. Let's begin this week. I often get overexcited by a specific topic because biking is such a glorious thing. There are so many things to get excited about with motorbikes. What I'm currently most excited about, mid-sized adventure bikes, overlanders, bikes that you can travel the world on. This is what my topic's going to be. Your picks. What are the ultimate overlanders? First off, I want to get one thing clear, in my mind at least, and you may disagree. What is an overlander in motorbike terms? First off, it has to be comfy enough to cross the world in or on. Secondly, it has to be reliable enough to cross the world. It also has to be able to be fixed around the world. So there's no point having Exotica if you get to deepest Africa and it can't be fixed if you have a breakdown. Next, it has to be able to take all of the luggage and maybe a tent, so it's got to be big enough to do that. Oh, finally, most important, it has to be able to go on-road and off-road. It must be a do-it-all bike, and it has to be good on-road and also good off-road. Let's get down to it. We begin the journey, the ultimate overlanders. I'll start with Indigo Joe. Freddie, you could do with the double fuel tank. This is interesting. A double fuel tank, if you're going to be traveling overland to Alaska, perfect place to start here. There are paved or gravel roads. God, it's quite cold. Paved or gravel roads all the way to the north coast. But filling stations are few and far between once you get up into the northern British Columbia, let alone northern Canada and Alaska. The Aprilia Touareg that we mentioned last week, that's got an 18-litre fuel tank with no double tank option as standard. Whereas, this is interesting, the Yamaha Tenere World Raid Edition comes with a double fuel tank. Okay, perfect place to start here. Double fuel tank from the Yamaha Tenere World Raid. This is an exact trade-off here. And I know this because we had two of these bikes on our recent Moroccan adventure. Two Yamaha Tenere 700s. One of them was a World Raid with a twin fuel tank. The other one was a standard one. Now, the difference between the two, this is really, really important. The World Raid with a twin fuel tank, it's actually got two petrol caps and you fill up each of them. That's a 23-litre capacity that's got. The standard one has 16 litres. So you could think to yourself, well, that's an obvious one. I'll go for the 23-litre fuel tanks. Of course, why would I not? Pay the extra and you get extra. But I don't think it's as simple as that. Because on our Moroccan trip, when we put Dave and Mark's Tenere World Raid and normal Tenere next to each other, the difference between the two is huge. Sitting on the World Raid with a 23-litre twin fuel tank, it felt so top-heavy, big and cumbersome. You could feel that extra, not only weight, but physical size of the tank. It starts taking over everything. And what it means is that slow speed maneuvering is noticeably more difficult. And on top of that, it means that off-road riding is nowhere near as pleasant because you've got all that extra weight up high as well. So it's got that pendulum effect with a much higher center of gravity now. And here's an interesting thing. If you have a 16 liter fuel tank, that will weigh 11 to 13 kilograms. So that's the weight you've got on your tank with a 16 liter capacity. If you up that from 16 kilos to 23 kilos, you take that 11 to 13 kilo weight and you up it to 17 to 19 kilos. That's a 6 kilo increase in weight and also a much bigger physical size. So then you've got to weigh it up. What do you go for? Do you go for extended range, or do you accept, look, I'm not going to be going as far, but still 150, 170 miles is still going to be long enough, and I'm going to be having a much more dynamic riding experience here with the smaller tank. It's going to be a more agile bike to enjoy both on-road and off-road, and that makes a big difference. So that is the first point we need to consider. The journey begins to finding the ultimate bike here. Sarosis of Liver replies to this comment about the twin fuel tank. With regards to the Aprilia Touareg, there are only something like 15 Aprilia dealerships in total in Canada, full stop, and they are concentrated in bigger population centres. It's a similar story with my Moto Guzzi V85 Adventure. Again, this is another bike that pops up a lot. You really like the Moto Guzzi V85s. Again, a very highly regarded bike here. Great bike, carrying on from Sarosis, and I've done thousands of miles or kilometers across southern Canada, but I know if I have anything more serious than a flat, I might be out of luck. I would be looking, carrying on from Sarosis, I would be looking at taking a Yamaha Tenere, Honda Africa Twin, or maybe a Transalp for more remote trips. This is an extremely important thing here. If we look at car terms, if you want to take on the world, there are two main options from 4x4ing. You want to get a Toyota Land Cruiser or a Land Rover Defender. And I know most people will be saying, don't be so silly with the Defender, it's got to be the Toyota Land Cruiser. But a Defender also, incredibly simple mechanicals if you look at the older model, and that can be fixed on the side of the road. So if you're looking for the motorbike equivalent of a Toyota Land Cruiser or Land Rover Defender, you either need something so simple that any mechanic can work on it in the side of the road, in the middle of deepest Asia, deepest Africa, where you're not going to have a Ducati, a BMW dealership, or you have to have a comprehensive network of dealerships, like the likes of, in the motorcycle world, Honda do, Yamaha, in fact, all of the Japanese brands, they've got a worldwide comprehensive network. So, with that being said, does that mean that if we're really serious about overlanding on a potential worldwide scale, certainly multi-country scale, does that mean really Japanese motorbikes are the only ones to consider? We're getting somewhere. Let's carry on. To take a slight detour here. Simplicity Reimagined from K-Watts 90. Freddie, what do you think of the new Kawasaki KLE 500 in person at the Motorcycle Live show? This is inexplicable. This is Kawasaki's new dual sport motorbike. Really nice looking machine, 500 cc's, and inexplicably, I forgot to go and view it. I meant to go and see it, and it just missed my mind. I'm so annoyed at myself. I really wanted to see it in the flesh. This is an excellent looking bike, 500cc. It's got proper lineage and a reputation for simplicity, robustness, reliability, good on-road and off-road. And I think this new model is the best looking model that's come out in the past 20 years from the KLE. Simple 500cc twin cylinder engine. Look, it's a well-proven thing here. It's going to be below £6,000, £5,999. Worryingly, the weight hasn't been mentioned yet, but I think I've seen somewhere, unofficially, someone said with fuel it's going to be about 194 kilos. So nothing here. Nothing is remarkable. The weight's not remarkable. The 47-ish horsepower isn't remarkable. The looks aren't especially remarkable, although it is the best looking one, in my opinion, in the past 20 years. But that's the whole point of these bikes. We don't want specifically remarkable for these kind of bikes. We want a robust bike that can get us anywhere we want to go and can be repaired with relative ease. That's the whole point of it. So I think, looking at what I know from the KLE, and I bear mind know as much as you know, I think this could be a little bit of a hit from Kawasaki. I think this is an excellent looking package. Very understated, but that's what you want. Cannot wait to see that. I think as soon as it comes out, I'm going to try and pinch one of those for a week or so. Oh, this is interesting. And we carry on. Too big for the dirt. This is another really important point with overlanding. On-road and off-road. This is specific to the off-road element. Over to Australia now from Volvo GT21. I've owned a 1200 GS BMW for years. But last year, I went around Australia by dirt on a primitive, I love these bikes, I love them. Primitive Suzuki DR650, as two-thirds of Oz is very remote and you need something you can fix yourself. Right, so here we go. We've got the perfect example here. This gentleman has a big 1200 GS, one of the ultimate adventure bikes. But if you want to do long distances off-road, and the key here, long distances and off-road, then this rider here found the Suzuki DR650 a much more realistic tool for the job, even over the highly accomplished BMW 1200 GS. I carry on. Look, if you get very remote, you need something that you can fix yourself. I found the size so liberating. I could explore tracks solo as I knew I could pick up the bike in compromised conditions. I love the bike so much and the size of it that I came home and I bought an Aprilia Touareg 660. It's a similar feel to the DR, but will do 200 kilometers an hour. It's the perfect bike with the best standard suspension I have ever experienced. Two Italian bikes pop up, almost as much as the Japanese stuff here, according to all of you. You really like these. Yes, the Moto Guzzi V85, but the Aprilia Touareg. A lot of Italian machines, whether it's cars or motorbikes, and the British stuff is the same as well, but the Italians definitely. They have a reputation for being fragile and ridiculously unreliable. But certainly these two bikes buck the trend, the Aprilia Touareg and the Moto Guzzi V85. I don't think I have ever heard a horror story from the Aprilia Touareg. People rate these really highly, very robust and incredibly reliable bikes. I think if it's anything to go by from all of your feedback, this should be a bike to be considered in line with the Japanese bikes, but the problem with it is the dealer network. Although out in Australia here, that hasn't been a problem so far because it's been reliable. And also fascinating, if we're looking at getting a good balance here, the BMW GS is too big for long distance off-roading. It's just too cumbersome. The Suzuki DR650 is just a little bit too stripped back and it wouldn't be able to mile munch on the motorways if needed. So the happy medium in the middle, the mid-sized Aprilia Touareg 660. Interestingly, when I was on the Morocco trip, Dave, the gentleman who rode all the way from Northern England to Morocco, did the week tour with us and then rode back with his son Aaron. Dave was on his big BMW 900 GS and I know, because we're in a WhatsApp group together and we talk about bikes quite a lot now. I know he's looking at a Honda Transalp because it's just lighter, smaller, and more manageable for off-roading. That says a lot in itself. Moving on, probably more so than any other, probably the ultimate. This is from Chris. Chris has a very nice Instagram account. Check it out. Hey, Freddie. I own the Yamaha T7, i.e. the Yamaha Tenere 700, and I've had it for a year, and I have to say, if I could only have one bike for the rest of my life, this would be it, the Tenere. I also like the Aprilia Touareg, but since these bikes are meant to be used, I would always go for the bulletproof bike, and that's the T7 with the CP2 engine. It cannot be beaten. Yeah, Chris, this is the exact bike that people recommend more so than any other for proper overlanding, on-road, off-road, rugged, can do it all, the Tenere 700. I found one. In fact, I say I found one. I did find one yesterday when I recorded this podcast, but this just goes to show good bikes do not hang about. I found this one and it's just come up in red writing as sold. 2020 Yamaha Tenere 700, £5,500 for a five-year-old bike. In my favorite color combo, red and white with the gold forks. This is as genuine as you can get. Changed the oil every 3,000 miles. It's perfectly clear from this description that the owners love this bike, even though it's a Category N. No structural damage. That doesn't matter if you know it's been loved and cared for, and I can just tell this one has. It's the perfect spec, and it's gone. So if you do want a nice Tenere, you can't hang about because these bikes shift. Chris, thank you. Before adventure bikes, there were sports tourers. This was the genre of its day for a little period. They've semi-died a death because of adventure bikes. Adventure bikes killed off this genre, really. But a lot of you still highly regard these. Take a listen to this for a story with some brilliant pictures. This is from Jacob over in England. But a story of three Polish guys here. Just Jacob happens to be in the UK at the moment. I begin. We are three friends of 45 years of vintage. We had been riding since the age of 15 years old, and we went to the same school. The last 20 years, our addresses are now 1,000 miles apart. I live in Newmarket, Suffolk, and my two buddies in Warsaw in Poland. Earlier this year, we decided to revisit the Stelvio Pass in Italy after 18 years. Owning newer bikes, there was something in all of us longing for the motorcycles from the 1990s. So we concluded that it would be a fun idea to meet up. I mean, listen to this for an idea. We thought it'd be a good idea to meet up on the Stelvio Pass on 1990s sports tourers. We got so excited about this idea that it took us less than a working week to agree that we were all going to go on the best sports tourers of the late 1990s. Of course, the Honda VFR 800 fuel injected. We haven't just bought any three VFRs though. It took us approximately 3 weeks to get one of each of the exact same year, same color, and we fitted the same luggage boxes. And guess what? All in the hiding of our wives. Obviously the beans were eventually spilled, some sooner, some months later. So I can imagine you go out and you buy a VFR and you have to desperately squeeze it into the garage late at night and just tell everyone, no one goes in the garage, please. So we sourced the best bikes we could find, given that they're 25 years old. It wasn't actually as straightforward as getting a new bike on lease, but we had the most epic 5-day-long Alpine blast. We visited Stelvio and other famous Italian passes. The bikes, with ease, stood up to their legendary competence of covering the roads fast and in comfort, sounding absolutely gorgeous in Alpine tunnels. We were quite a spectacle on every coffee shop. Three identical bikes from the past in the red Honda colour, making us stand out from the crowd of BMWs, Ducatis, KTMs. This is what sports touring was all about in the 1990s and noughties, before adventure bikes took over. There's something fulfilling and rewarding riding the original sports tourers and sports bikes, for that matter. Jacob, thank you so much. Those pictures of the three of you, and the fact that one in England and two over in Poland, and you met up on the Stelvio Pass on three identical bikes like that, that's a trip that you will never forget. And arguably, just like possibly the Yamaha Tenere 700 is the ultimate adventure bike, the ultimate overlander, then I would say that very possibly the Honda VFR 800 is the ultimate sports tourer. Jacob, thank you so much. And now on to some British bikes, because there are two British bikes, two models, that give an excellent account for themselves. Again, hitting that beautiful sweet spot of weight, dynamism, affordability, and attainability. The first of which comes from Austin in upstate New York, who has given a Triumph Tiger Sport more than a thorough test. Take a listen to this and enjoy the pics. Freddie, I've got a 2023 Triumph Tiger Sport 660 that I purchased brand new in 2023. It's been almost 2.5 years and I've now just ticked over 31,000 miles. 31,000 miles in 2.5 years, that's 12,000 miles a year, averaging at the moment, something like that. That is really good going. It's taken me all over the east coast of the US, and soon I'll be up in Canada and completing the entire lower 48 states, then up to Alaska. It's been an amazing trip. It's never let me down, it's never left me on the side of the road, and I've never had any major issues with the bike. Just basic maintenance that I do all myself in my garage. I've been slowly transforming it from basic 660 to full adventure touring setup now, and it's almost complete. It just needs a couple more accessories and a full suspension upgrade for the spring of 2026. This adventure all started right from day one. 2 months later, I'm touring through Vermont with my best friend. She's never been on a bike like this for such a long trip. But after that, it was to the state of Maine, dedicated to the trip of my late mother. Then it was the Thousand Islands in upstate New York and through the snowy areas in the middle of nowhere, Maine. And now it's completely decked out and ready to complete the US and Canada starting next spring. Austin, I think you've probably, with the adventures you've been on, given this one of the most thorough tests that anyone's given one of these 660s already. And this is the entry-level Tiger, the 660. It's so great to see it doing stuff like that. This has been an excellent addition to Triumph's lineup, this 660 Tiger. A lot of you love this bike. Carrying on in a similar theme, and also North America, we move over to Canada, or up to Canada now. This is from Jeff on another bike that many say is the ultimate Triumph Tiger. This pops up so much. Triumph Tiger 900 GT Pro. Take a listen to this. Freddie at 66, I recently bought brand new 2025 Tiger GT Pro 900, and I've been loving it. When selecting my bike, I was looking for something that is light and nimble enough to explore the nooks and crannies around New Orleans. Number two, can lean into the twisties. Number three, is powerful enough to be relaxed on long, multiple-day highway trips. And finally, has adventure routes to get me through sketchy roads and conditions. So I picked Triumph Tiger 900 GT Pro. In the second week of October, I put my Tiger to the test on a trip to the Rockies. This was a 3,300-mile journey that involved 6 days of highway travel and 7 days in the mountains. This is the definition of overlanding. It's the definition of adventure bikes. Point in a direction and you can go anywhere. That is the exact magic of these kind of bikes. I love reading stuff like this. On the highway, the 900's tall fifth and sixth gear, combined with its mid-range torque, allowed me to set the cruise control and purr along with the faster traffic at 5,000 RPM. On my first day in the mountains, I ignored rain forecasts and rode out from Trinidad, Colorado, onto the Highway of Legends. About halfway to Pagosa Springs, the rain started. Before long, the temperature had dropped to 41 Fahrenheit, and the rain became so heavy that streams of muddy water were rushing horizontally across the mountain road, sometimes 6 to 7 inches deep. The Tiger's adventure bike routes, along with linked ABS brakes and traction control, had my back the entire time. My Klim Kodiak gear kept me completely dry, while the GT Pro's heated grips and heated seat made me feel like I was cheating nature. Jeff, fantastic story, and I love the pics. Thank you so much. Bike of the week. I've considered all of these bikes as bike of the week. In fact, I did consider that Tiger 900 GT Pro from Jeff, but I thought, no. I have to stick to all of the points that I said at the start of this video. And the reason I can't put the Triumph as my bike of the week is because it has to be a Japanese bike. Because I need to know that if I'm in the middle of nowhere, I've got a chance to get the parts that I need, and that's why I've gone for maybe the ultimate model or the ultimate brand of motorcycle. Honda. Guaranteed to have Honda dealerships almost wherever you go. This is in from Clive. Freddie Transup, you reviewed it and you loved it. Clive, you're right. Bike of the week, the Honda Transalp 750. This is a bike I had for about 2 weeks, a year and a half ago or so, and I rode it all the way up to Northern England in January for a 4 or 5 day trip. I fell in love with this bike. It's excellent. It is the sub 1000cc 2023 Adventure Motorbike of the Year for MCN. It's 750cc, 91 horsepower, 208 kilos. Nothing remarkable about that at all, and that's the exact point of these bikes. It's a superb, superb machine. But with these Transalps, for me, personal preference here, of course, they are extremely susceptible to the package and the color combinations. Look, they all look good, but this is personal preference here. Take a look at the base spec Transalp in black right here. Now, that is £9,800. Sub 10K, it's good value. Now look at the one that I would need to spec. And usually I just go for the absolute base model of anything. I don't care about any add-ons at all. It doesn't bother me. I don't want any extra tech, yada, yada, yada. But for a Transalp, I would have to take it with the additional rally spec, the rally package on it. And that takes it from £9,800 to £11,800. So that is a £2,000 increase. But look what you get. First of all, the white, red and blue color combo here. It just looks so good. But look at the difference from the aesthetic appeal and, of course, the protection for off-roading you get with this rally pack. You get that sump guard, big, beefy metal sump guard with the lower engine protection and also the upper engine protection that I've added on top of the rally pack. And all of those differences there add up to make so much more of a purposeful machine in my eyes. So actually it wouldn't go from £9,800, it would go for £11,800. That's what I would need to spend. And this is where my bike of the week comes in. Bear in mind, I'm looking at an £11,000 or £11,800 bike. I have found an excellent bargain here on Auto Trader. No one ever listens to me with these bikes. Please, someone buy this bike and tell me if you've bought it, please. Because I think this is a very rare find. I have found a 1 year old Honda Transalp in the exact spec I need, everything I've described to you, but it's £6,800. That means in 1 year, this very desirable bike has lost £5,000 of value. You're probably wondering, how on earth is that possible? It's still got the Honda warranty. And on top of that, it's done 1,486 miles. So under 1,500 miles, you must be thinking, this is not possible. And it's at a Honda dealership as well. It's not even a private seller. Almost impossible. I'll show you why this is so cheap now. Take a look at the bike. Everything looks lovely. The description there all looks fine. Manufacturer warranty until next year. The dealer, Honda dealer, says here, has been used for minor off-road use. Right. The fact that the dealer's actually said that doesn't mean that alarm bells are ringing, but it just means that there's clearly visible evidence of off-roading. But the bike's only done 1,500 miles. If we look closer here, you can see that the exhaust and every single crash bar is very noticeably scratched here. It looks like this Transalp has spent every single one of its 1,500 miles off-roading, and a good chunk of those off-roading miles on its side down a muddy path. But then you should say, that's exactly what these bikes are for, and that's exactly what the crash protection is for. It's all done its job. And I think that these dual sport bikes, these overlanding bikes, they look better with a few scratches. The point here is, all of the mechanicals here are still going to be perfect. And the actual plastic panels of the bike, they're still going to be good. Does it matter that this one-year-old Transalp has scratches all over the crash protection and the exhaust? I don't think it does. And you're saving £5,000. I think that's possibly one of the best deals that I found, full stop, for Bike of the Week. Please, someone message me to tell me you've taken it. I'd be over the moon to hear that. That's an excellent, excellent bargain. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching this week's episode. I've got a feeling this may be a Wednesday at Dobbs episode. I don't know. Try and get it out for Tuesday. Have a brilliant week, all. See you in the next one.